This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last time we covered the chapter on the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank, the different things that he drank. This time the chapter is on the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank, especially how he drank water, and you could apply that to other things. So alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Babun ma ja'a fi shurbi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Chapter on the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink. Now this is a very comprehensive chapter that gives us an understanding of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank. It will inshallah rectify some misconceptions. Some people may think that some things are maybe haram to do or not permissible to do, but that will be clarified. This is chapter 32 of Imam Tirmidhi's chapters in his Shamail. And let's read the hadith first. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Babun ma jaa fi sifati shurbi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وبال اسناد المتصل منا الى الامام الترمذي قال حدثنا احمد بن منيع قال حدثنا هشيم قال حدثنا عاصم الاحول ومغيرة عن الشعبي بن عباس رضي الله عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شرب من زمزم وهو قائم وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر بن حسين المعلم عن عمرو بن شعيب عن ابيه عن جده قال رايت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشرب قائما وقاعدا وبه قال حدثنا علي بن حجر قال حدثنا المبارك عن عاصم الأحول عن الشعبي بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال سقيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من زمزم فشرب وهو قائم وبه قال حدثنا أبو قريب محمد بن علاء ومحمد بن طريف الكوفي قال أنبأنا ابن الفضيل أن الأعمش عن عبد الملك بن ميسرة عن النزار بن سبرة قال أتى علي رضي الله عنه بكوز ماء وهو في الرحبة فأخذ منه كفا فغسل يديه ومضمض واستنشق ومسح وجهه وذراعيه ورأسه ثم شرب منه وهو قائم ثم قال هذا وضوء من لم يحدث هكذا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعله وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد ويوسف بن حماد قال حدثنا عبد الوارث بن سعيد من أبي عصام أن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتنفس في الإناء ثلاثا إذا شرب ويقول هو أمرأ وأروى وبه قال حدثنا علي بن خشرم قال حدثنا عيسى بن يونس عن رشدين بن كريب عن أبيه عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا شرب تنفس مرتين وبه قال حدثنا أبي عمر قال حدثنا سفيان يزيد بن جابر عن عبد الرحمن بن أبي عمرة عن جدته كبشة قالت دخل علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فشرب من في قربة معلقة قائما فقمت إلى فيها فقطعته وبه قال حدثنا محمد بشار قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن المهدي قال حدثنا عزرة بن ثابت الأنصاري عن ثمامة بن عبد الله قال كان أنس بن مالك يتنفس في الإناء ثلاثا وزعم أنس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتنفس في الإناء ثلاثا وبه قال حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن قال حدثنا أبو عاصم عن ابن جريج عن عبد الكريم عن البراء بن زيد بن ابنة أنس بن مالك عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل على أم سليم وقربة معلقة فشرب من فم القربة وهو قائم فقامت أم سليم إلى رأس القربة فقطعتها وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن نصر النيسابوري قال حدثنا إسحاق بن محمد الفروي قال حدثتنا عبيدة بنت نائل أنا عائشة بنت سعد بن أبي وقاص عن أبيها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يشرب قائما قال أبو إيسى وقال بعضهم عبيدة بنت نابل. The one other thing that we learn from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many issues like we read earlier about clothing, he wore different types of clothing. He avoided a particular type of clothing which was not permissible. But then within what was permissible, you saw that he never did it the same way all the time. So he gave a variety. Likewise, even with food, you saw that he didn't eat meat much, but when he did, then he really enjoyed it and he ate it. He didn't insist on it. So likewise with drink as well, the way the Prophet ﷺ drank, you will see from these narrations that there's quite a scope of things that have been mentioned, different ways that have been mentioned. Yes, there was one thing that he said, don't do, but then other than that, he showed that there were other ways of doing it, and he showed what was permissible and what was the regular practice, but what was permissible and something that you could do if you really had to as well. So you'll see that with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's supposed to clarify for us that rigidity, that it must be only one way, right? You will notice that some of us may have had a very specific understanding of how you should drink, how the perceived sunnah way of drinking is, right? You'll see that from this. So this chapter is about whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat and drank, whether he ever stood and drank. Did he used to take a breath in between, meaning drink in different sips, or was it drank altogether? What is the prohibition that we've heard about? Do not blow into the vessel, or do not breathe into the vessel. What does it mean by that? So all of these things, inshallah, will be discussed here. The word in Arabic is shurb. And you could read that sharb, shurb, shirb, although shirb normally comes in a different meaning of a division of some sort. The first hadith is a hadith related, number 216. So 216, that's where we are right now of this kitab. The first hadith is related from Sha'bi, who is the famous tabi'i, we spoke about him earlier, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the sahabi. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shariba min zamzama wa huwa qa'im. He drank from the water of Zamzam while he was standing up. Now this most likely took place during the Hajjatul Wada', the farewell pilgrimage. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he drank standing up from Zamzam. Now this is a sahih hadith, right? This is what's related. However, in another hadith, now this hadith doesn't say the Hajjatul Wada', that's the explanation that the commentators have given, that most likely this happened then. The hadith just says that Prophet ﷺ stood up, he drank from Zamzam standing up. Now in those days, you didn't have Zamzam available in Medina Munawwara as well, or around the world, that people brought it was so easy to bring. It wasn't that easy, I think. So this had to be when the Prophet ﷺ was in Makkah. And if it's Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it means that it was done during the Madani period. So it must have been during one of the Umrahs, or it had to be done during the Hajj. That's why we understand it was done later. So in this one, it's very clear that he drank water, Zamzam, standing up. There's a hadith in Muslim and others that say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha ani shurbi qa'iman. He said it's prohibited to drink standing up. We've got a hadith in Muslim that says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited standing up and drinking. In another hadith in Muslim as well, which is from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَشْرَبَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ قَائِمًا. None of you should ever stand up and drink. فَمَنْ نَسِيَ فَلْيَسْتَقِ. If you forget, vomit it out. It's so bad that if you actually forget, it's according to this hadith, then you should vomit it out. If you forget to, if you stood up and drank and you forgot to sit down, then you should vomit it out because that's bad for you. Right? That's what it mentions in another version of the hadith. Majduddin al-Fayruzabadi, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kan yashrabu ghaliban qa'idan. Most of the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat down and drank. That was the norm, to sit down and drink. Waqad shariba marratan qa'iman. However, he has at one time stood up and drank. So some people have said, now what he is doing is he's trying to reconcile the narrations. We have clear prohibition, at least one or two narrations. But then we also have a clear action. So he's got verbal prohibitions, but he's got a clear action of when he stood up and drank water. And not just once, he did it more than once, as you learn from the other ahadith. So the way to put them together, and that will explain most of the hadith of this chapter for us, when we see him, you'll be able to put it in perspective, is that most of the time he sat down and drank, and that's why he actually prohibited it as a general action, but then he did stand up and drink. So it's either that the standing up and drinking cancels out his prohibition, so it's not prohibited to stand up and drink because he showed that you can by standing up himself, or that he just did it to show that it's something which you can do if you really have to. It's not haram to do it. Yes, I've prohibited it, but it's not haram to do it. The prohibition is of a lower level. Right? It's unhealthy, that's why. Normally, whenever something is prohibited for health reasons, it's makruh tanzihi, the lighter makruh. For example, don't eat burnt food. Right? The reason for it is it's bad for you. It's symbolic to the hellfire, so you don't want to be with that. So that's what that's all about. So some have said that the prohibition, some have said, no, the prohibition abrogates the action. The action happened first. You must have stood up and drank. But then the Prophet actually said, it's prohibited. Which means that whenever he did stand up and drink, whatever was understood from that becomes cancelled. Do you understand? So we don't know which happened first. So one could be cancelling out the other. And some have said, no, the way to reconcile is easier. Rather than making one set of hadith cancel out another. You know, in hadith studies, when you've got two kind of seemingly contradicting hadith, it's actually better to reconcile them in a way that they can both work, as opposed to saying, this cancels this, so these are no longer valid. It's better to reconcile. If you can't find any way of reconciling, then you can say, okay, these came later, so they must cancel these ones out. This is no longer applicable, this is what it is. That's normally the usul, the principle that you follow. So in this case, we've got a possibility of reconciling them. That look, normally he sat and drank, but he did prohibit it as a something bad for your health. And when he did stand up, it was to show that it's permissible if you really needed to. So it's not haram. That's the way you can bring both of these hadith into operation. So they both work. Now, what are the issues of then sitting down and or standing up and drinking rather? That's why one of the great scholars, he said that the prohibition is just a prohibition for etiquette purposes. It's a bad habit to stand up and drink, right? And it's more as a compassionate nature. It's a more of a compassionate order, right? That to sit down, drink with calmness, because water is just so important part of our life. And if you sit and drink it with calmness, it's actually better for you. And now there is research that shows that eating hurriedly is bad for you, right? That's why fast food is bad for you, because normally you'd probably eat it hurriedly, running around taking a bite here and there while driving or walking or whatever. So it's bad for you because it doesn't allow it to. You should chew your food. You should let it go down properly. Same with drinking. And you'll see more as we carry on. So the hukum is there for health purposes, compassionate grounds, health purposes. Some have explained that standing up has a harm. And that is why when the Prophet ﷺ said he should vomit, it's actually mustahab to vomit, not necessary to vomit, right? So don't take that literally. If you knew how bad it was, you'd probably vomit it out. Essentially, that's what he's saying. And start all over again, right, with fresh water. According to some, it says that because standing up is so bad for you and drinking, vomiting it out is actually a cure for it. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said this. Now, obviously, that's what the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith. Now, we could apply it to be something more on a compassionate ground. I did try to do some research to see if there was anything scientific. Not that we need it for this purpose, but it just helps sometimes for people to understand it and what the issues are. So I wasn't able to find anything that I could authenticate, but there were what people tried to quote from different places. And some of these things, even Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned several hundred years ago. Some of the things that have been related about standing up and drinking is, one is that because it's like this whole, when you stand up, the body is in a straight line. So firstly, it goes down as a flood, right down through the kidney. And because it doesn't go slowly through the kidney, it's not able to filter out properly. So then you'll have problems in the bladder. You could have problems in the bladder because the kidney is there to actually purify the liquids that go through. And when that doesn't happen, because it's just all of a rush, when you stand up and you do that, then it won't have that. Number two, it's bad for the stomach, again, going down that fast like that. And they had a few other reasons that they said creates as problems. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that that was another thing that they had mentioned as well, that you won't feel the same satiation, the same feeling of being quenched if you drink standing up that you could when you sit down and you take it in sips. Slowly, slowly, you let your body catch up, your mind catch up to your drinking as well, when you're standing up doing it quickly. So there were a few other things like that. So what Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, he says that you won't get fully quenched. It won't sit in the stomach for a while, where it should do, until the kidneys will then help to distribute it properly. And it will rush too fast into the intestines. And because of that, there's again that heat and warmth and cool issue comes into it, which I'm not very knowledgeable about. And it will very quickly go towards the lower part of the body, as opposed to where it should go down slowly if you're sitting down and drinking. There's a hadith that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has related from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. أنه رأى رجلا يشرب قائما. He saw a person standing up and drinking, and he said to him, قِئْهُ. Imam Ahmad relates from Abu Hurairah that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu saw somebody standing up and drinking. He said, look, take it out, vomit it out. So he says, لِمَ, why? He said, أَيَسُرُّكَ أَن يَشْرَبْ مَعَكَ الْهِرُ. Would you like it if a cat drank with you at the same time from the same cup? So the person said no. So then he said, the one worse than a cat has drank with you, which means the shaitan. So he obviously took it very seriously, based on probably what he saw of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's also possible that since this hadith about standing up and drinking, some have said that it's possible that it's only for Zamzam where Prophet specifically did that, but you will see other narrations where he didn't do that just for Zamzam, he did it for other reasons. But for Zamzam, there's a reason. And he actually mentions in the books that after you've done your tawaf, go and drink a huge amount of Zamzam water until your sides and everything fill up. So that's the one time you're actually told to stuff yourself. Literally, he says, go and drink, you know, like really stuff yourself with water at that time. So maybe that's the way to get more down is to stand up and do it. And the other time it's been mentioned is, you know, in the days when they had bowls of water from which you had to make wudu, and not like this endless, seemingly endless water supply that you open your tap and it'll just keep running and running, right? But you had a bowl of water from to do wudu, so you had a certain amount. Now, you use that as much of it for wudu as possible, and it was normally measured. It'd take out this, you know, you'd know that I do wudu with this volume of water, so it'd be a cup or a vessel or a pot that you would use. Whatever's left over, you drank that, standing up. So you actually stood up to drink that. And the purpose of that is, it seems, is that when you stand up and drink, then you're hoping that it gets everywhere rather than just in the stomach. So it goes around further when you're standing up to drink the leftover of the wudu water, which is barakah. So it's for the sake of barakah you do that. Because there's clearly that Prophet ﷺ did that, and he did it in Zamzam. So it's only in those two places that are very clear. Right, the next hadith is related from Amr ibn Shu'aib, from his father, from his grandfather, that he says, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَشْرَبُ قَائِمًا. I saw the Prophet ﷺ drinking, standing up. Now obviously he means, I've seen him standing up drinking, sometime. وَقَائِدًا. And I've also seen him sitting down and drinking, which he probably means by that I've mostly seen him like that. But I've seen him standing up, I've seen him sitting down as well. So now this has to be that he must have done it enough for him to see it as well, which means that he did it sometimes to show that it's permissible. So that's what that hadith is relating to. If it was totally a really bad, reprehensible act to stand up and drink, the Prophet ﷺ would never have done it so many times as observed. So, you know, sometimes when we see somebody standing up and we just like make such a big deal out of it, right? I think this should tell us that if it was something which is so bad that you should never do it, then it's understandable that, you know, that then the Prophet ﷺ would never have done it. But you'll see there's a number of, this is not to say you should go and do it, because generally the ulama have all understood from these ahadiths that you should sit and do it. But where there's a need, you can't sit down somewhere, right? Or whatever the case is, then it's understandable. The next hadith is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. قَالَ سَقَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ زَمْزَمْ فَشَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. This is why in the first hadith, which is also from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it's probably from this that we understand that that's what he did there. It was from Zamzam. Because in this one, he clearly says, I served the Prophet ﷺ water from Zamzam, and he drank it while he was standing up. And Imam Tirmidhi seems to bring in so many different narrations from different Sahaba, Ibn Abbas, Amr ibn Shu'aib from his grandfather, and so on, to show that it must have happened more than once. Right, the next hadith is 219, which is related from Nazal ibn Sabirah. He said that, Ata Aliyun bikuzim mimma. Ali radiallahu anhu, this was probably in Kufa. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he once brought a vessel of water, a pot of water. This is normally, a kuz is that way, that the mouth of the vessel is larger, not the tight one, right? So it's something which you hold water in, but it's got a wide mouth, as opposed to the small bottle mouth that we have, right? That would be different. وَهُوَ فِي الرَّحْبَةِ He was in, most likely, in the courtyard of the masjid, in Kufa. Because that's where the Ali radiallahu anhu used to sit down. He used to have his majlis there. He used to give his bayans. He used to give his lectures there. فَأَخَذَ مِنْهُ So he sat down with this water in the courtyard of the masjid. He took this. فَأَخَذَ مِنْهُ كَفًّا He took a handful of that water. فَغَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ And he washed his hand with it. فَأَخَذَ then وَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَكَ وَمَسَحَ وَجْهَهُ وَذِرَاعِهِ وَرَأْسَهُ Then he washed his mouth out, he washed his nose out, and then he washed his face, he wiped his face, and his arms, and his head. It doesn't mention the feet, but then it says, ثُمَّ شَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ And then he drank some of the water while he was standing up. So it seems that he was doing wudu then. He was either refreshing his wudu or he was doing a wudu after breaking it. Now, if it was wudu after breaking it, he doesn't mention washing the feet, which probably is included, he just forgot to mention it. Because, I mean, you can't expect somebody to miss their feet out. It's also possible that he didn't wash his feet, and this was just the mini wudu, which is just to wash your arms and your face for whatever reason, or that it was just refreshing that part of the wudu and he didn't complete the whole thing. So it's also possible. But most likely, I mean, he could have included anyway. ثُمَّ قَالَ Now the main thing is this. He did all of this and then he said, هَذَا وُضُوءُ مَنْ لَمْ يُحْدِثُ This is the wudu of the one who hasn't broken his wudu. Right? Then he said, هَكَذَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَعَلْ This is what I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم do. So it's a sunnah to repeat your wudu after before every subsequent salat, even if you haven't broken your wudu. So if you don't, I mean, this is, he said that this is how I've seen. So if you want to take it literally where he didn't wash his feet, or it's possible that it was included in there that he did wash his feet. But the main thing that Imam Tirmidhi brings this for is to show that he drank from the rest of that water. And he showed that the Prophet ﷺ did it because he said this is the way Rasulullah ﷺ did it. Which means the Prophet ﷺ must have drank as well, standing up from the rest of the water. The next hadith is hadith number 220. In that one, it's related from Anas radiallahu anhu. You see, until now, Anas radiallahu anhu hadn't related a hadith about this. We're wondering where he, because he normally relates a lot of these things. Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتنفس في الإناء ثلاثا إذا شرب. To do a literal translation of this, it would mean that he would blow into the cup or the vessel when he drank three times. That's what the apparent words, تنفس يتنفس means to blow. So it's like he blow or he breathed into the vessel, the cup, three times. However, in Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Qatada radiallahu an, it relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yutanaffas fil ina'i. He prohibited that somebody blow into the vessel. So here, we've got this hadith that seems to imply that that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, yet we got another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim which says that you shouldn't do it. So what does it mean? So the word in Arabic, yatanaffas, can also be used to mean take three breaths when you drink, and which doesn't mean that you breathe into the cup, but you take the cup away, as will be described. So it means to drink it over the course of three sips, as opposed to just one gulp it down, you know, the competitions that people have. So you drink some, you take the cup away, take a breath, you do it again. And then you do that three times. وَيَقُولُ هُوَ أَمْرَ And he would say that, so he describes that when the Prophet ﷺ did this three times, this is more, he said two things. He says it's amra. Amra means it's more delicious, it's more pleasurable, it's more satisfying. So to do it like this is more satisfying. He can't be talking about breathing into the cup, that's dirty. And he said that's more satisfying. You can't expect that to be the case. So obviously what he's referring to is breathing outside, relaxing, taking another one, taking another sip. It's better. وَأَرْوَى. And it's more quenching. Because there is no way that you could be breathing inside, you're like trying to breathe and drink at the same time. It can never be more quenching. More quenching is you drink something, you relax, then you drink another sip. So that's what it's probably referring to here, for sure. There's another hadith which is related with a sound chain. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kani yashrabu fi thalathati anfasin. This describes this one. This is more detailed. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink over the course of three breaths. He used to drink over the course of three breaths. Wa idha adna al-ina'a ila fihi. When he would bring the vessel close to his mouth, sammallah. He'd say bismillah. Wa idha akharahu hamidallah. When he would take it away, he would say alhamdulillah. يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثًا. Three times he would do this. It's also related, أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَى عَنِ الْعَبِّ نَفْسًا وَاحِدًا وَنَفَسًا وَاحِدًا. That Prophet ﷺ actually prohibited drinking it in one gulp. وَقَالَ ذَلِكَ شُرْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Imam Bayhaqi's related this. That is the way shaitan drinks, just in one gulp. Bayokuf, shaitan, isn't he? In everything he does the wrong thing. He just takes it, knocks it back one. And we have competitions, who can be the best shaitan? That's what we're doing, isn't it? And then you get the worst drinks, you know, Coca-Cola, right? And you give them a big 2-liter bottle and say, who can drink the most in one gulp? And who can have the most hot dogs with that? I mean, what is it, shaitan or what then? I mean, we think this is a little bit of fun, but if this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this hadith in Bayhaqi, that's the shurbu shaitan, then it's just a competition of the shaitan. It's related from Ibn Shihab, and Ibn Nu'aym mentions this, Ibn Sunni Bayhaqi from and others. إِذَا شَرِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَمُصَّ الْمَاءَ مَصًّا وَلَا يَعُبُّهُ عَبًّا. You should not drink in gulps, but you should take it easy. You should drink by taking it in sips. In fact, in another version, which is maybe not that of a stronger narration, but he says, فَإِنَّ الْعَبَّ يُورِثُ الْكِبَادِ or كُبَاد كُبَّاد actually. What that means is liver disease, liver problems. To drink it and gulp it down is bad for your liver, because I think it's just the pressure that's going in there. It's just too much at once. You take it easy, slowly it runs down. I mean, one hadith sums it up. There's another hadith, it's not about drinking, but it sums it up, because it relates to this. Bayhaqi relates from Anas radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-ta'anni min ar-Rahman, wal-ajilatu min ash-shaytan. Slowness and calmness, doing something with deliberation, is from the most merciful one. And haste, rushing, and hurrying in that sense is from the shaitan. Unless it's to do with the amr al-akhirah. Now, unless it's to do with the deeds of the hereafter. But that's only about embarking on those deeds. Once you start the deed, then you should take it easy. So don't delay your prayer. Rush to your prayer, but don't rush the prayer. So rush to the prayer. Rush to give sadaqah. Rush to do other things. But take it easy and do it with consideration when you actually do the act. Now, what is the hukum of drinking in one gulp? Is it permitted? Because, I mean, you've got different narrations that tell you these different things. So some have said it's makruh to drink in one gulp. Ibn Abbas, famous tabi'een like Tawus and Ikrimah. And they said, look, we're going to take it literally. It's the way the shaitan drinks. So it's going to be makruh to drink like that in one gulp. However, there's another group that said, well, it's permissible. Prophet ﷺ said that in an exaggerated way. It's permissible, it's not haram to do it. Right? That's Ibn al-Musayyib, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and Malik. So there is a difference of opinion there. Because they probably said Prophet ﷺ just kind of warned against that, don't make that a habit. Right? What about breathing into the vessel? They're saying that that's prohibited for health reasons. Because when you breathe into it, you're polluting the water and then you're drinking it again. So you're exhaling. When you're exhaling, you're trying to exhale, what is it, carbon monoxide? That's what, is it dioxide? So you're breathing that into the water and you're then taking the water in, whereas the water is supposed to give you life in that sense. So it's obviously bad. In fact, some of the scholars are also saying that, you know, while you're eating, don't drink at the same time because your lips, your mouth will be dirty. So there will be definitely something that will go into the water. So wash. First clean your mouth out, in a sense that don't have any food in there. Let it kind of be removed somehow through your saliva or whatever, and then drink. It says wipe your mouth if you have to. The other thing it says is that do not put the edge of the cup or the pot or the vessel into your mouth, but rest it on the bottom part of your bottom lip as such. And then kind of, rather than having the vessel go into your mouth, let it pour into your mouth as such. So that there's nothing going into the vessel, it's all coming into your mouth. That's the most healthiest way. I mean, subhanAllah, they discussed all of these things. They just didn't have laboratories in those days to really, like, you know. And unfortunately, we've got many Muslims in laboratories today, but I don't think they're ever thinking about doing this kind of stuff. Inshallah, somebody listening, look into these things in more detail. So it's what you're saying. بَلْ يَجْعَلُ الْحَرْفَ عَلَى الشَّفَةِ السُّفْلَى وَيَشْرَبِ الْمَاءَ بِالشَّفَةِ الْعُلْيَى مَعَ نَفَسِهِ الْجَاذِبِ. You should, when you're taking a breath in, that's when you'll pull the water in. فَإِذَا جَاءَ نَفَسُهُ الْخَارِجِ. When the breath is coming back out, then move the pot away from you, so that nothing goes into the pot. Right, the next hadith is hadith number 221. That is related from Isa ibn Yunus from Rishdeen. That's a nice new name. I don't know, it's been baby time recently or what. I've received a number of questions about baby names. Ajib names. So there was one person that emailed me with a few exotic kind of names, and I said, look, they don't really mean anything. Then the person came back with another three or four even more exotic names. Now, of them, one was kind of okay, but it was the spelling. It's one, there's a word called Ma'isha in Arabic. Ma'isha. It comes from Aish. Aisha comes from the same word. Ma'isha means livelihood. Now, if you spell that as M-Y-S-H-A, would you ever say Ma'isha? Or would you say Maisha? Some weird, funky name. Misha, Maisha. I don't know, it just sounds like... So, saying Maisha, like, Maisha's got nothing to do with that. That's Maisha. You write Maisha, people are going to say Maisha or Misha. So don't try to justify it with Maisha. For that is either a dash or apostrophe, I-S or E-E-S if you want, E-E-S-H-A-H, Maisha. Some ajib names. Another one, Ridwanul Alam. Ridwan means happiness, pleasure. Alam means the universe, the pleasure of the universe. Now, what does that mean? What are you trying to mean from that? Oh, that name sounds good. This word sounds good. Let's put it together. Man, that sounds cool. Ridwanul Alam. Subhanallah. I mean, I guess you could make it a good name, but you'd have to put a lot of, you know, you have to read into it a bit, you know? Anyway, here you go. Rishdeen. That sounds cool. I think that sounds nice. Rishdeen. Comes from rushd, guidance, the right way. Rishdeen. I think that sounds quite cool, doesn't it? Anyway, Rishdeen ibn Quraib, this one. He relates from his father Quraib, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha shariba. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink, tanaffasa marratain, he used to take two breaths. So which means that he has drank in two sips by taking two breaths. Unless he means that he drank one sip, then he took a breath, then he drank another sip, he took a breath, and he drank a third sip. So it means he still drank in three sips. Or it could mean that he actually did it, breath meaning sip. Obviously that means sometimes, because you've got another one, it says that he drank it in three sips. So this just shows that two or three times, it's okay, it's fine. Don't insist, hey brother, you must drink it in three. Because the Prophet ﷺ drank it in two as well. Main thing is, just don't gulp it down. And this is supported by another hadith that's related by Imam Tirmidhi in his big collection in his Jami', from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tashrabu wahidan kashurb al-ba'ir." Do not drink single, in a single gulp, like the beast does. Lakin ishrabu mathna wa thalath. Drink either in two sips or three sips. So don't drink in one sip. That's what's prohibited, or that's what's discouraged. Drink in two or three sips. وَسَمَّوْا إِذَا أَنْتُمْ شَرِبْتُمْ وَأَحْمَدُوا إِذَا أَنْتُمْ رَفَعْتُمْ. And say Bismillah when you're drinking, and say Alhamdulillah when you raise the cup from your mouth. In another hadith of Bukhari, it mentions مَرَّتَيْنَ وَثَلَاثًا, it mentions two and three times. So drinking two sips or three sips, it's fine. So you can do two, three, four, five in a big cup. You don't force yourself, I'm going to measure this. Okay, one third, I have to drink this much. And then this much and this much. It could be more than three. Main thing is just don't drink in one gulp. Simple. Unless it's a very small amount of medicine or something, then you have to drink in one gulp. Then if you try to do three in that, it's going to be really complicated. You might drop it, half of it, by the time you do that. There's a teacher in India, and his punishment, you know his punishment is the class is on the third floor, and there is a reservoir on the first, on the ground floor, the what you call the haud, where you make wudu. So when he gets really angry on someone, he gives them a cup and he gives them a spoon. He said, keep this cup here, take this spoon down, and you need to bring water from that reservoir and fill this cup up with it. Now can you imagine in 50 degrees, you go down with that spoon, you take some water in it, you start going up, half of it will evaporate and a quarter of it will drop. So you get there and you got a quarter of water, you fill it, you go back down and you never want to mess around with him again. So the way to, I mean for us, the way of sunnah will be that you will get the basic sunnah will be achieved by drinking in two sips. Then after that, it's as many as you want. Hadith number 322, it's related from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Amrah, whose name was Usaid or Usama. He relates this from his grandmother, right? He relates this from his grandmother, whose name was Kabsha. Amma bintu Thabit ibn al-Mundhir al-Ansariya, the sister of Hassan ibn Thabit. That's his grandmother. Imagine having a grandmother like that. Relates hadith to you. It's quite cool, isn't it? To relate hadith to you. She had met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a sahabiya. So she says, دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فشرب من في قربة معلقة قائما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once visited us and he drank standing up from a suspended water skin right from the mouth of it. You know, some people say don't drink from the bottle, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself has prohibited that, but on this occasion he drank from the opening of the water skin which was suspended. So he stood up and he drank from there. And she relates this really clearly. Whereas, as we've seen from other things, there's a sahabi who's relating something, but there's something that Prophet ﷺ has prohibited from. Similarly, he as well. There is a prohibition related about drinking from the mouth of the vessel itself. Why? Because there could be something in it which you don't know, especially if it's dark, or because those water skins, they were obviously, transparent, you couldn't see through them. So there could be something in there. They weren't, you know, 100% sealed all the time. You might have left it open or whatever. That's why. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Naha an ikh, well, it's related, Naha an ikhtinath al asqiya. Ikhtinath. Ikhtinath means to upturn the because it's a flexible kind of water skin. It's this large piece of leather, right, that's been put together, and there's a funnel part at the top. Right, a small part at the top, which is where you can drink from, pour from. So it's flexible. So you just bend it down and you drink from it. If you drink from it directly, so the Prophet ﷺ prohibited from doing that. So why did he do this here? To show that sometimes it's permissible to do that. So now, I mean, if you're really hungry one day, really thirsty one day, and you know there's a bottle of lemonade in the fridge, well, you could just knock it from there if you wanted to. It's bad to do it all the time and make a habit of it, but it's not impermissible. Now, this doesn't give the children permissibility of doing that if they're listening. To say, yeah, we can do that. Mum can't say anything to us now. Because this was done once. And normally the prohibition is for tanzih. Now, it depends on the size of the bottle, right? And of course, it depends on your size as well. I mean, if you're a small guy and you're drinking some big bottle, I mean, it's going to look really weird, isn't it? But if you're a big guy and you've got a Samsung Note, it looks okay. But if you're a small guy and you've got a big Samsung Note, you're pulling out, what are you doing? You're calling on a pad. You know, it just looks weird, doesn't it? So all of these things just depend on who you are and how you're doing it. Because a lot of this is to do with the urf, it's to do with the custom, it's to see how, it's all about etiquette. A lot of this is about etiquette. So one is the perfection, the way of perfection, the way of best etiquette. That's what the Prophet ﷺ generally did. But then he showed that it was okay if there was a need to do it otherwise. He said, then, now there's another thing mentioned here. She says then, she must have thought, great. فَقُمْتُ إِلَى فِيهَا. After he'd finished, I got up, I went to the mouth of this water skin, فَقَطَعْتُ, and I cut it off. I cut it off for tabarruk purposes. Now there's people who would not like these kind of things to happen, because they think this is all bid'ah. Now if you said, well, look at this hadith, and said, well, that's permissible. Or they'll say, that's what Rasulullah did, nobody else can do the same thing. Right? So it's just, well, you can only do it with a water skin, you can't do it with a bottle. right? So yeah, you know, if you've got a sheikh like that, you know, you need to find a water skin and then you can do it with that if you really want to do this. They're very literalists. You wouldn't do it with a bottle of water, for that matter. You want to save the top if you really wanted to, you know? But anyway, she said she did this. Now, this is not a one-off. Because let's look at the next hadith. The next hadith is number 323. That one is from Anas radiyallahu an. He says, كان يتنفس في الإناء ثلاثا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink with three sips. We've already mentioned that before. This is just another version of that narration. Number 324, that is related from Bara ibn Yazid. Who is Bara ibn Yazid, ibnati Anas. So this is like a grandson, a great grandson of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an. He relates from his grandfather, Anas ibn Malik, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dakhala, he went somewhere. It doesn't mention in the hadith who, but it was Umm Sulaym's place this time. Umm Sulaym was Anas radiallahu anhu's mother. So he must have visited them. وَقِرْبَةٌ مُعَلَّقَةٌ. There was a water skin that was suspended. That's where they used to keep them. Maybe because on the ground things could get in there. It was kind of all over the place, so you hung them up. فَشَّرِبَ مِنْ فَمِ الْقِرْبَةِ. He drank from the spout. He drank from the opening. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. While he was standing. فَقَامَتْ أُمُّ سُلَيْمٍ. Now that one was Kabasha. This one is, that was Kabasha, the sister of Hassan ibn Thabit. This one was Umm Sulaym. Clearly, فَقَامَتُ Muslim. Clearly, she mentions. And إِلَى رَأْسِ الْقِرْبَةِ, to the mouth of this water skin, فَقَطَعَتْهَا, and cut it off. I've got one now as well. So this is not a one-off case. It's happened with two. And finally, 325, the last hadith of the chapter, it's related from Aisha bint Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu's daughter. She relates from her father. She stayed alive until Imam Malik met her, and she passed away in Medina Munawwara in the 17th Hijri, 117 after Hijrah, when she was 84 years old. Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Dawud, and others have related her hadith. She relates from her father that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kan yashrabu qa'iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink standing up as well. Some have said that it's just a point about the chain, that it's Ubaidah bintu Nabil in the chain as opposed to Ubaidah bintu Na'il. Nabil is a point of the chain. But there you've got that again. So I think the conclusion of all of this, as the ulama have done, is that generally the Prophet ﷺ sat down and drank. And wherever it's mentioned that he prohibited, it was for health reasons, it was bad to do that. But then it's permissible to stand up and drink where necessary. But the general thing should be that we should encourage the sunnah to stand up and drink, and to drink in at least two sips or three sips, and do not blow into the vessel. That's why when they have very hot tea, again, you shouldn't blow into the vessel, because it's harmful for you. Put some extra milk in there, cool it down, put it in a bowl, because normally when you put it in a bowl, it becomes more spread out. Move it from one, you know, pour it from one cup into another and back into that cup, something like that. But do not blow into it. It's a very bad habit to blow into it. The next chapter is about the perfumes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'afina wahdina warzuqna. Allahumma ihdina wahdi bina waj'alna hudatan liman ihtada. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamam al-'afiyah wa dawam al-'afiyah wa shukra 'ala al-'afiyah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.